Well, good evening, everyone. This is Bill Blatchford in Sun River, Oregon. I'm actually not at the base of this mountain you're looking at. That actually is Mount Hood. I'm at the base of Mount Bachelor, which is actually better skiing than Mount Hood. But we have fresh snow on the ground today, and so I thought an appropriate photograph. Tonight, for our webinar, we have Dr. Glenn Spencer from Detroit, Michigan. And, of course, you've all been reading the news about what's going on in Detroit. Well, Dr. Spencer shared with us, he's been a client for a number of years, and one of the things that we know about Dr. Spencer is his practice actually grew last year. It's been growing steadily for several years, and so we thought it would be a good program for you to watch to see how he is growing this practice in spite of the fact that things in his area are not growing. Now, one of the things that I'm noticing tonight is my slides are not advancing for some reason, but all this technology that's the way it works. So I hit this and it's not there. There we go. All right. Now it's been advanced two at a time. Okay. So we mentioned Dr. Glenn Spencer. His slide went by real fast, but you're another chance at Dr. Spencer. So not to worry. I do want to make a couple announcements before we get started. I happen to support several causes. These webinars are brought to you by several different people. Climb for a Cause is one of my things. It's a charity that supports two children's dental clinics, one in Guatemala, one in Nepal. We also just recently sent some money down to Haiti. This is a group of us that climbed Half Dome on Yosemite. I'm there in the pink shirt. You'll notice I'm not clear out on the edge. That's a little precipice that sticks out there. It's about a 2,000-foot drop to the next piece of land, and so I kind of looked at the structure of that rock, and said, I'm going to hold back a little bit. But anyway, this fall, in Labor Day weekend, we are going to climb the South or the Middle Sister here in Central Oregon. It's going to be a three-day event here in Sun River. We have things for everybody in your family. We're trying to make it a little more of a family event this year. It's the Labor Day is on the 6th, which is a Monday of September. It'll be start the Thursday prior to that. Well, there's rock climbing. There's whitewater rafting. There's horseback riding. We have four golf courses in the resort. Lots of activities here. So if you're interested in that event, give us a call. We also do a ski trip every year to Park City, Utah. This year the trip will be February, I believe it's 25th, and I see Bill Myers on the call. He came with us last year. And through March, I think it's March the 4th this year. Those are some things coming up. We also have a cruise with the Vancouver Dental Society leaving out of Rome to Italy, the Greek islands, and Turkey. That is in May of 2010. These are all on our website, and you can look at these. Of course, we have our book, Playing Your A-Game, and we have a new book out called Blatchford Blueprints, and all the proceeds of these two books go to Juvenile Diabetic Research Foundation. We have made Playing Your A-Game a theme of these calls. In the A-Game and in the Blatchford Blueprints, we interviewed various offices have done real well in our program. We'll feature them in a chapter. And that's how we came up with the theme for these webinars. Now, Dr. Spencer is not in our book. He'll probably be in our next book. But he has done exceptionally well in our program and in his practice in Detroit. Right? And so there's our Blatchford Blueprints. And if you go to our website, we have several things on there. We have a BAM calculator. We have various backspace here, Bill. And since this but you can get this BAM calculator, which is our bonus calculator. You can get the overhead per hour calculator. We also have free webinars, free audios, et cetera. And you can reach us on our website, fill out a practice analysis form, and one of our people will actually be very happy. We have some specialists that are extremely well-trained to get on the phone, set up a phone appointment with you, and go over your practice and show you what's working and where you could use some help. And you probably already know those areas, but that's available to you. So go to our website, and you can register for these various things that we offer. Well, what's changing? And I think this is what's really important, and that's the reason we put Dr. Spencer on this call tonight. What is changing? And I think for the last 10 years or so, prior to about 18 months ago, probably 2 years ago, we had a very strong vital economy. Now, we all have to know, in hindsight, it was a bit of a bubble, and bubbles tend to burst from time to time. But the bubble has changed, and one of the things that we're noticing is that many of our clients last year had incredible years. That is, their profit was up, their production was up, and yet we're looking around the country, and I get this opportunity that is a very unique opportunity. I get to go to all of these dental meetings. I just returned from speaking at the New York meeting. I think they had 60,000 people in attendance there. I get to talk to a lot of dentists. I'm leaving for Boston tomorrow to speak at the Yankee. I just spoke to the Chicago Dental Society week before last. And I have this chance to speak to a lot of dentists, and I speak to a lot of laboratories. And I can tell you that the last year, in 2009, dentistry was down. Major supply companies laid off several hundred people. Laboratories are down large percentages. And so that means that dentists are not doing as well. And here's my take on all of this. For those doctors that have not changed what they're doing, that is their the operation of their practice, if nothing has changed and they have not improved their skills in communications and marketing with patients, they're suffering a little bit. So what's changing is not so much that there's less money out there. It's that people aren't spending that money. It's no longer the free spending public that we have dealt with for the last 10 years. So the government now is starting to talk about the R word. I started talking about it as the R word, but we're actually in a recession. Now, one of the things that I want to point out here is in a recession, a lot of it is just in people's minds. Whether it's real or perceived, it really doesn't matter because people are holding back on their spending. However, as I point out, over 50% of the American public works for government in some form or another. And that business is certainly not getting smaller. It's actually getting bigger, and those people do have money, and so there's money out there. But people are starting to save more. And every time we pick up a newspaper, which I advise you not to do, because all you read is bad news, is you read an article on how to save money on this and how to save money on that. And then, of course, the same newspaper is wondering why these various retailers are not advertising in their newspaper. Picking up our local paper this morning, a big half-page article printed from the Chicago Tribune on how to save money in your clothing budget, how to save money, how to repair, how to alter, all this sort of thing. And then, of course, they're wondering why the local clothing stores are not advertising with them. So we have to change the way we do business. Now, many of you on the call lived through recessions in the 70s. We lived through a recession in the 80s. And so this is not new. But we do have to change what we're doing. So that is why I brought Dr. Spencer onto this call tonight. Dr. Spencer practices in Detroit, Michigan. Now, as you all know, Detroit, Michigan is one of the places hit the hardest by this current economic situation. So I thought his story would be real interesting for all of you. And tonight, the format for this, to keep this as quiet as possible, we have, you're all muted. Now, what we will do, you will notice on your screen, there is a place where you can type questions in. You can type in a chat. Also, there is a place where you can ask a question by raising your hand, and I can call on you. And I have Deborah Miller, one of our specialists on the call, is from our company, is on the call. And Deborah, if you can kind of keep your eyes open for those questions and send a chat to me, perhaps I can open up the call and we can get those people on and find out what's going on. So, Glenn, why don't you give us the thumbnail sketch of your story with us, what you've done. You've been working with us for several years now, some of the things that you were looking for when you started, and then how things have changed in Detroit and what you've done to change with them.
Sure. Well, I started with Bill and Carolyn a number of years ago because I wanted a change, and I knew that my profession was changing drastically, so what I chose, like many other dentists, is cosmetics. And I was hot on the track to be a rise spore in Detroit, like he is in Seattle, and of course got pretty good at it and was going along just fine, and then I got a hint of what was coming. So of course, during this transition, I continually needed my bread and butter dentistry, and that's what made the transition the hardest. But actually, I feel pretty fortunate that I didn't make the total transition because, the advent of the economic situation just made me realize, you know, I have to do more things. I was always a, Bill gave me a book early on. It was called The Purple Cow, and it was always a favorite of mine. Is that Seth Godin, Bill, I think?
That's Seth Godin. That's a great
book.
Yeah.
So I just had that purple cow spirit, and, you know, by doing so many
and
different things.
And for those of you, let me stop you for a moment, Glenn. For those
sure.
who have not read that book, Seth Godin is a marketer. He's written a number of books on marketing, and a purple cow is something you turn an ordinary thing into extraordinary, which is what everyone thinks their dental practice is. But Starbucks is a purple cow. Took a
yeah.
common cup of coffee and made it a Starbucks. A Haagen-Dazs ice cream is a purple cow. How do you turn an ordinary practice or a practice perceived as ordinary by the public into something different? Glenn, why don't you tell us also, you know, how long have you been in Detroit?
Oh, all my life. Actually, we're outside of Detroit, but it's kind of all one big suburb now. But there's really not too much in the city. I chose to live here. I love living here. It was a very affluent place all my life. My wife and I and our families live here. We love it here. We actually chose not to move, so... A lot of other people.
And some people recently, some dentists have actually chose to leave the city, I know.
Oh, yeah, yeah, as quite a bit of the population, but anyway.
How much has the population dropped up there?
Oh, gosh, I think the city is now, what did I hear the other day, 800,000. I think it was the only city that was over a million since in the last 1,000 years that dropped under a million, so I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But at any rate...
when we were talking to you a couple of weeks ago, you made a comment about the advantage of people leaving, and you mentioned that, there's no traffic anymore.
Yeah, that's true. They can find my office.
I thought that was a great example of positive attitude.
Well, yeah, people...
Well, back to your practice. I've interrupted enough.
Oh, okay. So anyway, with the advent of the purple cow idea, I just began doing different things that I was interested in. One of the biggest, of course, was implants. General dentist doing implants is probably one of the fastest growing new waves, and along that came Invisalign. Of course, the smile makeovers, the 12 unit per arch laminates, etc., they kind of disappeared. So you found you had to do different things. Of course, you could market them differently, but the fear of spending, these people might be back in 2 years. I'm sure they will. But everybody's afraid now, even the very affluent people that would normally do the veneers. So, I got the Invisalign, the implants, the TMD migraine therapy, which has been so rewarding and effective. I never realized how much people suffered with migraines and how successful this therapy works. I opened a dental assistant school, which I've wanted to do for 25 years. I always thought an assistant that was going to help me do things my way needed to be a professional like me. And they were just treated as suck spitters, so to speak, so, and low wages. So that was one of my goals always, and I finally did it. I lost my star of my whole career in 2007. Christy, who was my assistant, became an hygienist and then became my assistant again, being paid an assistant or a hygienist wage. So she ran me and my place unbelievable, and I really thought the end of the world came when she left.
And when we started, she was a superstar in your practice.
Oh my goodness, I doubt if I'll ever find another, but it really doesn't matter because, you know, you can create a team that can do the same thing. She was just one that did almost all of it. But, yeah, she left, she got married, and her husband moved to Nebraska. The same thing happened with a couple other team members. One, my star hygienist, left, fortunately came back a year and a half later. due to a cancer in her granddaughter. And anyway, another hygienist left, my front desk girl. Anyway, the point being, I just persevered. Of course, I had to work harder. There's no question. Training and organizing new people is always difficult. But when you have the idea of what you're doing, the goal, and how you want it to be, and you make your vision clear by reading it every day and having them read it, it weeds out the people you don't want pretty quickly. And that's really what I've done.
Glenn, when we were talking the other day, you mentioned that you've put some systems in place that made that transition of employees quite a bit easier than what we experienced in the past when people have left. What are some of those systems that you've put in place since you started to work with us?
Well, I think the first thing that comes to mind, and the biggest, which I'm 61 years old. I've done dentistry from 1973, according to the insurance rules. And when you and Carolyn said, get rid of it, I don't know, I think it took me 2 years maybe, Bill. And I first got rid of Blue Cross, then I get rid of one by one by one. And I frankly don't know how dentists can practice any other way.
Now, wait a minute. You're expecting, we've got almost 100 doctors in this call now, and you're expecting them to believe that you're in Detroit, Michigan, home of the UAW, and you're a non-insurance participant.
That's correct.
Okay, and I just wanted to clarify that.
And the patients
and you've grown
are
your
very
production
skeptical
as well,
at first. Pardon me?
And pardon you've me? Grown as a result of it.
Oh, yeah. You know, you lose a few people, but Carolyn's formula that you can lose 15% of the people, charge your own fees, and not pay the insurance companies their cut, it equals out the same. And I actually didn't even lose 15% when I quit Delta. But the reason becomes clear when the patient comes in and has a zero balance and doesn't have the apprehension of talking to the financial coordinator, doesn't feel funny about or embarrassed about being there with owing money. That's a big factor, especially in the relationship between the staff or the team and the patient. And the doctor's relationship with the patient is just so tight then. They wouldn't go anywhere else. They truly learn. They get their money quicker.
Well, one of the things you have to do is you really stepped up your communication skills with those patients. I think.
Oh yeah.
What was? Let's just for clarification here. What approximately? What was your income? Your gross income level last year?
Last year, what was it here? 1.33,
which is up about $100,000 from 08, and you did that with what size of a team, Glenn? Are you working?
Well, actually, I just added a gal front desk. Most of them are part-time. They're 3 days a week. I was at four. I went down from 11, Bill, when I started with you. Went down
yes.
to three and four. And that was just heaven. Again, that's probably one of the biggest aspects of working with you.
So you went from 11... team members. Well, we probably went from 11, we'd call them staff members, to three team members.
Yeah, and I slipped there. I never do that. I always call them ladies and team members.
Yes. No, they were staff when you started.
Totally.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, as for those of you who've listened to me, I believe a staff's an infection, and that's very often what we have. But we actually went from 11 people, an insurance-driven practice in Detroit. And our goal is never to tell a doctor what to do, but when Glenn described what he wanted and what frustrated him, that's when we said, well, why don't you, you know, when we say insurance-free, patients can still come in with insurance. It's just that we're not bound, but we're not providers,
well,
so
sure.
Therefore we're not bound by the insurance.
We fill out all the forms for them and send them in and help them with any problem they have with the insurance because we're still very knowledgeable about it, more than they are. So, but
you're not taking... you may not be taking discounts on that.
Correct. Now,
yeah.
Bill,
okay.
Being flexible, though, you do have to add, flexibility is one of the main reasons I think that I've increased. And that one flexible thing on this aspect is changing one of my team members to a financial concierge, where people can trust her and never have a problem talking to somebody about the money, and she'll always make it happen for them. She eliminates all the stoppers. Now, she has had to, with, you know, a 30-year patient that has no job and just can't do the work, she will make special arrangements, and she can keep track of very few percentages of my practice, though. But
Glenn, if you could speak just a little bit louder, but tell us
sure.
about this financial concierge, because that's something I think a lot of the people on the call have not really heard that concept.
Well, I think I made it up.
Okay,
yeah.
And in two sentences, what is her main job?
Her main job is to overcome any stopper of treatment that has to do with money.
Okay.
You know, everybody's so concerned about money, I turned it into a marketing tool, having a person just concerned about the patient and their money. And it's worked wonderfully. They are so attracted to it. And she has the ability to be a little more flexible that way because she just takes care of their concerns. So does she have to track a little more? Maybe. Does she have to give somebody a three-payment payment plan a little more when they walk out the door? Maybe. But again, she can take care of it because that's all she does. That's all she does. So
now, you've done some innovative marketing things this year, too. I mean, one of the things that I'm impressed with you is you've done a lot of what I call relatively low-budget marketing, more in the networking area. Talk a little bit about that and how you've got your team involved, because I see so often in practices, very often the doctor is the only one that does any networking in the community, and I know you've been very successful. And by the way, for those of you listening in, this is one of the real difference between a staff and a team. A staff would probably say that's all up to the doctor, and a team says, okay, how can we help? So what are some of the things you've done with you that your team has done networking-wise?
Well, let's see. Last week, we had an oral surgeon and his whole team here for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a reversal. But he's a guy that I want to do implants with. I want to have him for my grafts. I want to, you know, and my whole team interacted. He and I just sat and talked together. And, you know, we were determined to have one office a month over here for lunch to see what we do. And I explained to them, you know, you people get referrals, and of course you have to send them back to those doctors. But you know what? Once in a while, you get a doctor that doesn't restore implants. And once in a while, you get somebody that doesn't want to go back to their doctor. Well, the result is one of the team members is having her mother come for a consultation. So that's the freest marketing you could have.
Yeah, now you've done several different things. I know you have a very large web presence. You've really worked your new patient flow via the websites. Tell us some of your things you've done there.
Yeah, we've had a website, and of course, it always needs improvement. We just finished our first video iMercial with the highlights of the office and the team, and actually, it's in the can, but it isn't up. It's going to be another week or so before it'll be up.
Will that be on YouTube or?
You know what, Bill? I'm just not sure.
You don't know yet. Well, that's one of the
it'll be for sure on my website.
Uh huh.
Let's see what other. Well, today I'll tell you. I'll go backwards here. Today, my financial concierge came and said, "You know, Glenn, February and March are usually the slow months historically. I'm going to print this up today, and February is kids." Day or kids month, they're going to get their radiographs and their exams for free this month. And we don't want to leave out mom and dad, so we'll give mom and dad of those kids 10% off this month. And guess what? That was emailed to my patient base at about 2 o'clock by the end of the day at 5, we had 2 patients scheduled that wouldn't. We had 12 more inquiries by email that have to be answered tomorrow.
That's
and that
amazing.
Was their idea, totally free, you know. I don't know, these gals are coming up with things right and left. The more excited they get about our vision and being a team together, and we're having a pet palooza. We've got some influential people in the rescue animals. You know, they've got an overabundance of pets that don't have homes just because of the economics, and the proceeds will go partially to them, but more importantly, we'll give every person that adopts a pet, the family will get a free checkup.
Wow.
But
see, these are ideas that...
We come up with them every day, Bill. Every day we come up with them.
If you get a group of people, and I think one of the things that is really working in Glenn's practice so well is, and these are all brand new people, I mean... 2 years ago, these people, there wasn't a single person on his team today that was
One is an older.
And yet, with Glenn's vision of how he wants his practice run, and with his direction, these ladies are true team players. They're thinking like owners, and they come up with these ideas. I go into so many offices. I don't go into offices. When I talk to doctors, I hear constantly that, you know, my team just doesn't come up with ideas. It's all up to me. And it's almost like you go to work in the morning, you've got this harness hanging at the back door of your office. You go in, you put the harness on, you hook it up to the wagon, and you get everybody on the wagon at your morning meeting, and then as you go through the day, you turn around and look, and half of them have jumped off, and you run around and get them back on the wagon again. And a practice like you've got, Glenn, that's not it requires none of your energy to put people on the wagon as the day goes on.
No, I just went on with my work today and got probably 12 or 14 patients I wouldn't have had.
Yeah, that's great. Let me ask you a couple of questions about what is your new patient flow on a monthly basis, would you say?
Well,
here we are.
Yeah, it's amazing. It isn't that much. It's probably 8 or 10 only.
Mm-hmm. I know.
However, it's amazing how the strong relationships that I've built create people to want better dental care, and they just they seek the best thing. So the majority of this production is now coming out, or has this last year did while this transition was in place, from people that were already patients, established patients, that just wanted something better.
Mm-hmm.
That realized that they still had a job, they still had their salary. You know, there's most of the people still do.
Well, that's correct, and that's true all over the country. And yet we tend to set policies on that 10% or 12%, whoever's number you look at, that's unemployed.
Right.
And I think one of the things that has been so useful in conversations with you recently is the fact that is that your attitude is to choose to work on that 90% that are still employed. Now, I know Detroit, and one of the reasons I picked Detroit is, and look for you on this call, is that back in 1980, when we went through a recession, Oregon was second only to Michigan in unemployment, and we had like an 18%. And I think in Michigan, your unemployment rate is up there in 18% or so, isn't it?
Oh, sure. You know, they try to mask it, but, you know, it's amazing how really the true percentage is, it could be 20%.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay, very good. So some of the questions, we have some time for some questions here, and I'm going to read some questions that some people have typed in. And anybody has questions for Dr. Spencer, you can type them in. Some people have asked information about the cruise. There's information on our website about the cruise. It's about mid-May. That's the one with Vancouver Dental Society. Dr. Gupta wants to know, over the years, what TMD courses have you taken, Glenn?
Well, actually, I only took one. I went to California. Actually, you know what? I can't remember the name of the group, but it's a great program with soft tissue management and cold laser and a T scan. Does anybody know what a T scan is?
Yes.
it's incredible software to measure occlusal
forces. Not the
Face
Institute, is it?
Pardon me?
It's not the Face Institute.
No.
Okay. I'll tell you what, you can answer that question. In
San Clemente, California. It's in San Clemente, California.
Okay.
You know what? Anybody can email me or call me, and I'll give them.
Okay. What is your email, Glenn?
Actually, we go through Deb's. She's the business administrator.
Okay.
Deb, D-E-B, dot Dr. Spencer at gmail.com.
Okay, we can get that. And if anybody else, we can get that information to you, too. Dr. Myers asked if chart audits are effective, and I can answer that question. It depends what you're trying to do. If you're trying to clean out your chart cabinet, they're very effective. If you're trying to get patients in, we find not a lot of effectiveness in them. Remember that in any given practice, about 20% of your population moves away in a given year. And so over a period of time, 2-3 years, you get 40 to 60% of your patients moving away. And there's a lot of energy spent on those patients trying to get them in. So I'm a believer in not spending a lot of time on chart audits, if that answers your question, Bill. Dr. Ormsby wants to know what part of your vision stimulated the team the most. Glenn, take that on.
Probably having a good attitude and having to see the glass half full all the time, and having your true motive, not just one you say or write down, to be that for the good of the patient.
Mm-hmm.
That means, I think, quite a lot. All the new people that came through here were truly amazed at that the most. And that probably is the most cohesive factor. You know, the
mm-hmm.
thing that Bill taught me was that you can make your behavior a habit looking at the glass half full or half empty.
Well, that's one of the things that I see about you is attitude. And when Carolyn was talking to you recently, and you said, how are things in Detroit? And you said, they're absolutely wonderful. I can get to work in half as much time. And Carolyn said, why? Well, there's not as much traffic. A lot of people would look at that and see that as a negative, and you see it as a positive. And I think
I see so many positives, yeah.
Yeah, one of the things as leaders is we have to always be looking for that positive. Here's a question for you. How has your January started off?
January is, well, the fact that I was in Arizona for a week.
that means your January is real good. You're out there trying to sun.
Yeah. January, of course, we get all the people now that want, I can look it up here real quick. While we're talking, I'll give it to you.
I mean, it's a good month. I mean, you didn't have to close
there
at all.
Oh, sure. No. It's, I'm sure we'll do 80 or 90, even though that I've been gone.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I find is that people put a lot of, stock in what we do in a given month. And, you know, a month is just, you know, it's just 15 days. And, you know, the difference between a good month, a mediocre month, and an outstanding month is truly, they're all just about the same. It's just that outstanding month, one or two patients with a relatively large treatment plan says yes, and then we have that average month where that didn't happen. Then in a mediocre month, it just means that no one said yes to a big case. And so it's not really, I find that doctors spend way too much time worrying about that 15-day cycle versus this 15-day cycle. And if they focus more on the bigger picture of it instead of looking down, and I think when you start looking at cycle by cycle, we start becoming micromanagers. And we allow our mood to be swayed by how many people are in the appointment book, what's the production today, what's the production for this month. And I think one of the things that has gotten Dr. Spencer through this whole thing in Detroit, and the reason he's done so well there, is that he has not allowed the doom and gloom newspapers and the doom and gloom news out there to affect his attitude. His attitude has been absolutely wonderful right from the start. And we know of doctors who are moving out of Detroit, and they just decided that a long time ago it's just not where this is not going to work, and so let's move on. And I think that it's been a large part has been your attitude, and part of that is not being really into the minutia, not the micromanagement. Here's another question. Dr. Parsenko asked, What other marketing ideas can you pass along that you're doing? You've mentioned this networking. You've mentioned your internet. What other things, Glenn, have you done that you might pass along here?
Well, the community
now, remember,
projects.
For the doctor asking this question, remember, this is not a practice that sees a lot of new patients a month. I mean, 8 or 10 new patients a month is about what Glenn sees.
You'd be surprised how many people in everyone in your practice have migraine headaches. You'd be surprised how many people want that little tooth changed in position. You know, you'd be surprised, you know, who wants an implant and who doesn't. And who doesn't...
So in other words, expanding the things that you're offering to existing patients has been
yeah.
a large part of your growth over the years.
Right, right. But as I said, my staff comes up... My staff, listen to me. I've never done that.
We all know what you're talking about.
Networking is one of the biggest things with the other offices. Community mm-hmm. projects like the
Petpalooza.
Yeah, and
uh-huh.
the financial rewards to the patients. There's no question that brings people in that think they need that little edge.
Well, like that free X-rays and exam to children, 10%
yeah.
off for the adults.
And we're practically giving away Zooms. You know, we don't mm-hmm. care. We want people in our office because once they come in our office, they see the attitude of the team and me and how we do things and its presence, and they like it.
Yeah. You know, the nice thing, too, is that you give a few things away, but the big picture is you're making a pretty darn good net income because I know that your staff is bonusing regularly, which basically puts your overhead somewhere in that 55% range. And, you know, you're doing quite well at that. Here's another question. Somebody wants to know what technology you've put in place, what new technology you've put in place in your practice in the last few years.
Well, I've always had digital. You know, as computer upgrading, we always keep up on that. This may sound little, but rotary endo, it makes it faster. And
so it's really not, I mean, the thing is that it's not really a lot of new equipment or high-tech stuff you've put in. You've always had digital radiography, and you've always upgraded your computers, and I believe your hygienists are collecting in hygiene. So that's
they
the
are.
Important stuff that we teach is that we do collect our hygiene. Most of our practices, the hygienists make their own appointments, and they collect the money right in hygiene, which really makes it a lot easier out there at the front desk. And every hygienist tends to balk at that when we first mention it, and then once they get into it, they really enjoy doing it. So somebody
it
asked,
works.
What are the average bonuses per month?
Well, we did have a great bonus system. 2007, when we had our star team, we had $26,000 in bonuses split among three people.
Mm-hmm.
2008, it went down, and that's because we had to spend a lot, even though the gross was about the same. And now the new team members have their first 3 months of their BAM recorded, and they should get a pretty good bonus. They'll probably share $2,000 or $3,000 this month.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Mm-hmm. So he's had some new people. Here's a Dr. Stafford asked, what is the secret to high production with your small staff? You did 1.33
well, people? Well, yeah, big cases, number one.
Uh-huh.
Ideal dentistry.
Mm-hmm.
Being efficient, having everyone be efficient.
Mm-hmm. I can throw cross training in there. Everybody knows how to do everything. It's
right,
stable.
Right. And when they don't, it hurts. There's no question.
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't. I personally think what Dr. Spencer is doing at 1.3 with four staff is wonderful. I don't consider that a small staff for that. That production. I mean, much higher than that with staffs that size. So, but that's a good idea of a good example of being efficient. Dr. Highsmith, can you be more specific what the financial concierge has done? I have a hard time believing that on a small team, that's all she really does.
she sits in that office. We take every single patient up to her when we present treatment. And she sits them down and makes a financial arrangement with them, mm-hmm. whether they're going to pay cash, credit card. If they balk, she gives solutions like care credit. And as I said, she has had to make a few private arrangements with them, but she knows insurance inside and out. This is the gal that's been with me. She works.
So, Glenn, what percentage of her time? I mean, if she's seen basically, you know, every hygiene patient that elects to have some treatment done, and a few new patients coming in, what percentage of her time would you say that she spends strictly on financial arrangements?
I'd say half the time.
About half the time. Okay.
Yeah. And it's been the key to no accounts receivable. It's been the key to customer relations. They trust being there. They have someone to count on for their money woes. It's amazing. She knows every patient. She knows insurance inside and out. She has a very friendly, giving personality. That's all. Mm-hmm.
And what is this lady's, what are her duties the rest of the time?
Oh, don't get me wrong. She knows how to do everything. She's the one that came up with. She'll bring a patient back and set up a room, clean up a room. She'll answer the phone at any time. Everything.
Okay, so it's not. So she's about 50% of the time. But I think the good news here is that she literally has. She does not feel any pressure, time-wise, to spend the time with this patient and get the job done.
No, can you imagine if she had all these things to do and still had to answer the phone?
Mm-hmm. I see. Okay.
So
she's free to spend whatever time it takes to help that patient find a solution, how to afford the treatment.
Right.
Excellent.
Right.
Well, that's one of the things that I find, and for those of you listening in, Care Credit is one of my sponsors and helps make these calls possible. And one of the things that we talk about in our seminars is the fact that most dental teams, they present outside funding like it's the ugly stepchild that charges a lot of interest and doesn't approve many people, and then they wonder why nobody wants to do it, or they only send the people with extremely poor credit to them, and then they validate their beliefs that nobody gets accepted. So with a system with what Glenn is doing, this person really has the scripting down and understands that her main job is to get these people financed in something or another.
Correct.
Here we go. Here's a question from a doctor that says, was it hard for you to make an emotional and financial commitment to take Bill on as your coach? That's a good question. I don't know who asked that. But
I think you'd be silly if you didn't think it was hard. But I can tell you right now, I don't think I'd still be practicing, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't.
Well, I'm glad you are.
Well, I am too. I love it more than anything. But I was at a standstill, and I didn't know what to do. I knew I had to do something. I'd heard Bill a few times in Chicago, and it made sense to me. And so when he and Carolyn came here, I was like, boy, do I have a hard job here, and how am I going to pay for it? But mm-hmm. I think, as I recall, Bill, I got your fee back in 3 or 4 months.
Wow. Pretty good.
I think I did.
I should have charged you more.
Huh?
I should have charged you more.
No, I charged more. You saw my fees and told me to charge more. That's how it happened.
No, I said I should have charged you more money.
And you got me into a RISE course right away.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And I came back, and that's where I really had the increase in income.
Yeah, I think one of the things is picking up some different skills that you weren't doing before. And
correct.
This is one of the things that I hear a lot is that, well, all of my patients have everything done. And I think that's probably true in a lot of cases, but I say learn to do some more things. And it's, you know, anybody in sales knows that it's easier to sell to existing customers or clients than to get new ones. And one of the things that I see is that, you know, the more skills that you learn, the more that you see. And we do send people to various courses, and you add skills, and you then all of a sudden you start seeing those things. So that's very good. Here's a question from somebody. You're 61 years old. What is your exit strategy? I don't think you have one.
I don't. I'm getting stronger and stronger here, you know. There's no question. As long as I can be physically up to date, I think I can keep doing this.
Well, Glenn, don't know this, but I just spoke at the New York meeting, and I spoke three times there, and one of the men that introduced me is one of my heroes. His name is Harold Gelb, and I went back and spent a week in Harold's office probably 25 years ago trying to learn what he was doing, TMD appliances. I spent the week there, and he was a master at it. I really didn't learn to do what he does. But he introduced me. He is 80, in his late 80s at this point, and he still practices three. After he introduced me, I said how he's one of my heroes. His son's a client, if I knew what he was doing. And he's, I said he was practicing three mornings a week, and he corrected me. He said, no, I practice three full days a week. And he takes 3 months off and goes to Florida in the wintertime, but he's still practicing dentistry. Now, he hasn't touched a handpiece on a tooth in 15 years. But, you know, our idea, for those of you asking, wondering about exit strategies, I believe the best exit strategy for most dentists is practice until you're ready to quit, put the practice on the market, and sell it. And you think about selling a practice, you know, practices are worth about 1.5 times a year's net, which means it will provide you with enough money to live for about 18 months at your current lifestyle. So right now, because of a lot of doctors pulling their markets off to practice, they're selling for just a little bit more than that, but not much. And so you can decide to retire and sell the practice, or you can work 18 more months and quit and throw the key in the river, and you're financially, you're exactly even. So there's a lot of money out there being exchanging hands on developing exit strategies, and a lot of commissions being earned by selling half a practice or selling a practice, staying on as the associate. And most of those aren't working out really well. So that's something that you want to be thinking about. Another question, what was the course that you went to? And Glenn is going to get that for us, so I don't have the answer to that. Glenn, just a couple more questions for you from our audience. And I want to wrap this up, but I want to thank you for your time tonight. I want to thank everybody for getting on this call. And there will be a recording of this call on our website in a couple days. Any other questions from anyone out there, if you just want to type into the chat box, I'll ask those to Glenn. Glenn, a couple other things that I would like to ask. What do you see for the next 5 years for yourself and for dentistry? What do you see primarily for yourself? What are you looking forward to?
Well, I'm looking forward to the benefits of practicing in a more ideal way that I finally feel like I've accomplished, thanks to you and Carolyn, and just less stress. And you know, the fact that I can now reap the benefits of these strong relationships with the patients, they're going to come. They're just going to keep coming and spending. Especially,
well, you've weathered, hopefully, one of the worst years that we've seen. 2009 was a hard year for people in business, period. I'm fortunate. My business does well. I guess I'm kind of like a lawyer. I do well when business is bad.
Yeah.
But many businesses last year suffered, and certainly in your area of the country they did, and you've come through that, and so I think that we're going to see, and my feeling is that we're probably going to see this recession start to turn around, but it may be towards the end of this year. I read several financial newspapers daily, and that's what people seem to be thinking. It's going to be a little bit, so I think we're going to have to continue improving especially our communication skills to get people to see the value. I see Nancy Granahan, that's a consultant that actually works with Glenn, made a comment here that she would like everybody to know that the entire team answers the phone and is cross-trained. There's not a single person that cannot answer that phone, and that's one of the tenets that we teach. And our top performers, everyone on the team answers the phone, and sometimes even the doctor answers the phone. Nancy also says that his team absolutely has a get-it-done attitude, and that is due to the fact that Glenn is a great leader and has shared his vision, and it shows. It's not just something that he did in a seminar as an exercise and wrote it up. It's something that, for Glenn, it's a breathing thing. It's something that exists in their office, and it's always fun to see Glenn at a meeting, because he's a lot like a child in a way, is that he is, he's like a small child. He's always bubbling over with enthusiasm. And I don't know whether he learned this from one of his fellow Detroit residents, but that was Henry Ford. And Henry Ford said that a sale only takes place when there's a transfer of enthusiasm. And one of the things that I will leave everyone with is that in times like this, leaders are called upon to provide that enthusiasm and that optimistic view. And if you get nothing else from Glenn's message tonight, take that home with you, because that, I believe, is what's made this practice do so well. I mean, to grow by $100,000 last year in Detroit is quite a thing. And I give Glenn a lot of credit, and most of that goes to his positive, upbeat attitude at all times. And if you have trouble creating that kind of an attitude for yourself, you know, sit down with your team and make a list of all the positive things you have going for you, starting with the fact that you live in the United States of America. And even though we're going through some tough times, it's absolutely the best place in the world to live. You're a member of the dental profession. You've got a license that only 120,000 people in this country have. And you have those skills that no one else has. And, you know, when you put on, you start adding all these things together, and your health and your families and everything you have, I'll tell you what, you'll become positive on this. And this is what Glenn brings every single day to the practice, and that's what you have to do. Well, Glenn, thank you so much for being on this call tonight. I hope that some of you doctors listening to this call can contact us, and I see several of our clients on there. Thank you for being on the call tonight. For those that aren't clients, contact us, fill out that practice evaluation form, and one of our specialists will be in touch with you, and perhaps you can do what Glenn's doing. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Bill.